presentation is using cotton microarrays to investigate velvet leaf response to corn competition. My co-authors are Dr. David Horvath at the USDA ARS in Fargo, North Dakota. He's a plant physiologist, and Dr. Danny Llewellyn at Cicero in Australia, and he provided the cotton microarrays. When we think about weed crop interactions, we think that weeds reduce crop yield. And how do they reduce crop yield? Well, when we think about it, the weed parameters that we talk about are the weed composition, what are the species of weeds, the weed density, and the time of emergence relative to crop emergence. And those are very important parameters how the weed competes with the crop. We also can think about crop and cultural management parameters that also affect weed crop competition, such as crop and the crop that we're looking at, and not only that, but the crop genetics of that crop. We also can look at row spacing, fertility, and seeding rate. So there are several different things that we can look at when we're talking about weed crop competition. We know that crops also influence weed growth, and this is some data that we had from 2006 that we published. This is velvet leaf growing with corn and velvet leaf at different times of the year. This is when velvet leaf emerged with corn. This is when velvet leaf emerged at the V1, velvet leaf emerging at V2, and finally velvet leaf emerging at V4 stage of corn. So corn is competing with velvet leaf, and velvet leaf is competing with corn. When we look at velvet leaf alone, this is our velvet leaf canopy when it was grown alone compared to in the corn. We see that velvet leaf at that very early stage had over 20,000 centimeters squared per plant of leaf area, versus here in the corn, we only had about 4,000. So we understand that corn does compete with velvet leaf, and velvet leaf doesn't grow nearly as well as when it's growing outside the crop. The crop also influences weed fecundity, or the number of seeds produced. Here we have velvet leaf alone, and this emerged at the same time as corn. When it was not growing in a corn crop, we had about 8,000 seeds produced by that one plant. When it was growing with the corn crop, we had 940 seeds produced, and when it was growing with soybeans, we had about 2,000 weeds produced. So we understand that the weed is influenced by the crop. Traditionally, we've done interference studies, and they focused on observing specific physiological responses of the crop and or using growth and yield as growth indicators of interactions. And I've just shown you a couple different interactions that do occur. But how does the crop compete and change the physiology of the growing weed? What does crop competition do to that physiology? The sequencing of the crop genome and the availability of high-density microarrays has opened the opportunity to determine the expression of thousands of well-characterized genes simultaneously. And what we're looking at is, will microarray analysis highlight differences in physiological responses between velvet leaf growth under crop-free and cropped conditions? So what we did was, plants were grown in Aurora, South Dakota, under crop-free conditions or in competition with the corn. Velvet leaf was sown in the inner row of the corn crop on the same day as corn and hand-thinned to 8 plants per meter squared, so we had a pretty good idea of how many plants we had there instead of letting it overgrow in the crop. And we had, this was done at the V1 stage of corn growth. We had N fertilizer and irrigation were supplied to limit nutrient and water stress, and then we did a randomized complete block with 4 replicates. On July 22nd, we took the apical meristem of the four young leaves and of selected velvet leaf plants per plot. We pooled this to represent the plot, and immediately we froze it in liquid nitrogen and we stored it at minus 80 degrees C until extraction. 2 velvet leaf plants and 2 corn plants were also harvested at this time to determine leaf area, dry weight, nitrogen, and P concentration. There is no microarray chip for Velvet Leaf available, so we used a 24,000 element cotton chip, and this is where Danny Llewellyn came in. He supplied these cotton chips for us, and we used it because it is both cotton and Velvet Leaf are in the Malvaceae family. The chip contained clones from young ovules, elongating fibers, leaves, roots, and immature embryos, as well as plants, leaf material, and stem material. The RNA was then extracted from the frozen plant material using a pine tree extraction method. We labeled cDNA, and we prepared it by using 30 micrograms of RNA. We hybridized it to the 24K element cotton chip. We used 8 different 2-dye hybridizations to compare Velvet Leaf alone and Velvet Leaf with corn treatments. The fluorescence intensities on the chip were visualized and quantified using a scanner, and the fluorescence resulted from the excitation of labeled cDNA that struck the DNA containing probe during hybridization, that stuck to the DNA containing probe during hybridization. The northern hybridization was checked also. We used northern blot to check on some of the microarray and make sure that we did see, because we were using cotton for Velvet Leaf, we weren't sure if it was available to do that, and so we used the northern blot to say, yes, this does work for cotton or Velvet Leaf. We looked at differences in hybridization intensities, and they were determined using M values and A values. The M value measures a different gene expression, and it is a log 2 of the hybridization and intensity ratios of weedy over weed free. We also used A value measures, and that tells you how strongly a given gene is expressed and is a log 2 of the square root of the product of the hybridization intensities. My husband said I should go poof, and there was results, and that's about what we did. The plots were low S normalized to produce normalized M values for the gene, and we deleted low intensity probes from the data set. And we also did an ANOVA analysis for all the data to determine differences between treatments. The results. Velvet Leaf growth and development. At this June sampling, corn overtopped Velvet Leaf. Velvet Leaf alone, the leaf area was about 640 centimeters squared per plant. The biomass was about 8.5 grams per plant. The pea content, which will come into a little bit later discussion, was about 2.65 milligrams per gram. The N content was 49 grams of N per kilogram of plant material. That was the Velvet Leaf alone. When we looked at Velvet Leaf with corn, we had similar leaf area, we had similar biomass, and we had similar N content, but the P content was reduced by about 27% compared to the Velvet Leaf alone. Just to give you a background of what happened with the corn with Velvet Leaf, the biomass in the leaf area was reduced about 16% when grown with the Velvet Leaf versus when grown alone, and the total pea content was about 20% less when the corn was grown alone, when the corn was competing with Velvet Leaf. This is a picture of the Velvet Leaf grown alone. Here's the Velvet Leaf. You can see that the corn, this is corn behind it. You can see that the corn is overtopping the Velvet Leaf at this time. And what we did was we took plant material from the very top of the plant and we froze that along with some very small leaves. This is what the gene expression looked like on a microarray. These white dots here indicate that there was no hybridization, that there was nothing there. Then we had differences between the green and the blue depending on if it was upregulated or downregulated. This small portion of this chip is represented right here. So we have 24,000 different genes that are expressed here. Of the 24,000 probes on the microarray chip, about 9,000 consistently hybridized to labeled Velvet Leaf cDNA at a level of at least one standard deviation over background. Of those that hybridized, 5,500 probes had significant similarity to known genes with which to identify physiological and developmental processes that may be impacted by corn. 266 genes were preferentially expressed or upregulated when velvet leaf was grown with corn based on a p-value cutoff of 0.05. 625 genes were preferentially expressed in velvet leaf monocultures. The genes that were induced by the corn treatment, i.e. upregulated, included, now this is kind of interesting because remember the corn is above the velvet leaf, included photosynthesis genes, ribulose biphosphase carboxylase was upregulated, chlorophyll A and B binding protein. We also had carbon metabolism genes that were upregulated, nucleotide sugar ephemerase and acetyl-CoA oxidase. We also had cell division genes that were upregulated. In other words, they're going faster than what we would expect with the velvet leaf alone. The cell division, histone H2A, and the cyclin D3 genes were upregulated. In contrast, last year I presented a paper looking at how velvet leaf affected corn. Well, last year, these genes were all downregulated when corn was in competition with velvet leaf compared to corn in monoculture. So there's a difference here between what's going on between corn competing with velvet leaf and velvet leaf competing with corn. There were a few genes, because remember the velvet leaf was above the corn, or the corn was above the velvet leaf. We did have shade avoidance genes that were induced. Ethylene responsive genes were induced. GA induced genes involving cell division were induced. Phytochrome A, known to play a role in shade avoidance and Arabidopsis, was also induced. And genes involved with auxin were not differentially expressed, although we expected to see auxin genes being differentially expressed. There's little evidence for competition for water or most nutrients except for P. And phosphorus, the PHI1 gene, and other P-inducible cell cycle-related proteins had lower expression when competing with corn than when competing with monoculture. And remember I said that P, when we were competing with corn, was lower than when it was in a monoculture situation. So conclusions, overall growth analysis of velvet leaf, corn did reduce velvet leaf growth. Using cotton microarrays to track changes in velvet leaf gene expression between monoculture versus corn competition systems was successful. It did work. Specific genes that were upregulated in the presence of corn, surprisingly, some of the metabolism genes were preferentially induced. We didn't expect that. Not surprisingly, genes involved in shade avoidance responses also were induced. In the future, we're hoping that this microarray analysis will lead to mechanistic understanding of plant competition, and including the onset and stoppage of critical weed-free periods and nutrient and water utilization.